business owner? Entrepreneur? Want to learn how online marketing can improve your business?
Your questions.
Our advice.
This is Not a Real Job.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Not a Real Job, the podcast about digital marketing and digital productivity and lifestyles and all that kind of good stuff. I am one of your two hosts, Chris Van Patten, and I make websites and web products based out of New York City.
And I am Joel Kelly, your other co-host, and I do social media strategy and execution for tourism and travel brands from Nova Scotia, Canada.
So this week, well, let's step back a little bit. Last week, we talked sort of about how some companies might put their most junior staff person in charge of social media and that sort of thing. And we explained why it was a bad idea, and you should go back and listen. But this week, I think we're going to talk a little bit about actually managing your social media.
Yeah, so basically, you know, we gave you enough negative reasons not to put that junior person in charge. So I thought we'd start off a little bit talking about how you can manage that and how, you know, resourcing is usually one of the biggest struggles that companies have when trying to approach social media. You know, who's going to run this? Where are we going to find the time? And I think that usually stems from perhaps not seeing enough significance or importance in it. You know, usually when a company recognizes that something is important, they find the resources. What often happens with social media is that companies recognize that it's something they seem to have to do without necessarily understanding the value. So then resourcing is more of a struggle. So I don't think we'll get into in this episode, you know, going through the basics of, you know, the value of social media. I think we've done that a little bit before, and, you know, we can do that in future episodes. But once you have kind of figured out that this is what you're going to be doing, we're going to talk for a few minutes about how you can actually manage that, who you can put in charge and how, you know, you can get a plan in place to actually make it happen. So I think I can just start off and talk a little bit about how we help tourism brands to run social media. For us, being an agency working with clients, we usually initially work with clients to kind of figure out their goals. So what are they actually trying to do? Can their website currently actually, you know, for example, accept bookings? If so, then, you know, our goal is likely to get people from social media on the website to book trips. If that's not the case, if it's more of a promotion board that, you know, wants to get visitors onto their the businesses they represent onto their websites to do bookings, then, of course, you want people on the site to learn more and then take action after that. So for us, it really all starts with, you know, figuring out, we've said this so many times before, figuring out what your actual goal is and then going from there. And I assume, Chris, it's you know, usually the same for you when you're dealing with clients.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the same across the board, whether, you know, even in your personal social media, what are you trying to get out of it? And maybe for your personal account, that's just sort of talking to people, and that's fine. But I think for people in our positions as entrepreneurs and digital marketers, there's also this layer of, well, I want to, you know, give talks and things like that. And I think that same sort of thing you can apply across the board, whether you're dealing with clients, whether you're doing this in-house at your own company. You need to have a clear understanding of what your goal is, because if you don't have a goal in mind, you're just going to sort of meander. And part of the trick, especially when dealing with clients, is sort of weaseling out what exactly that goal is. So if you're, you know, in charge of your company, if you're the CEO and you want to get on and do a little bit of tweeting, you hopefully have sort of an internal sense of what your goal is for the company, and you can translate that into social media. But if you're somebody like me or like Joel who deals with clients, or who are, you know, we're tweeting and Facebooking on behalf of these clients, it's almost doubly important to understand their goals, because and to deeply understand those goals, because you don't come from that background, you don't come from that company. So you really need to take the time to learn about their culture and learn about their mission and how they make their money, which is something we've said time and time again, and we'll keep saying, but I think that's definitely your first step.
Exactly. So once you've got that figured out, I think the person who should be in charge of your social media, if it isn't, you know, depending on the size of your company, if it isn't the CEO, if you have a larger company and the CEO. Now, of course, one of my clients, a very large travel brand, the CEO is very active on Twitter. We help to get him up to speed, and we work with him every day to kind of keep getting more invested in it. But this is a CEO of a major travel brand who is on Twitter and active and sees the value of it. And is always trying to get more value out of it. But I think that's just an interesting note that a lot of people don't see this as something that executives need to get involved in, but it certainly can be. But if that's not an option, you should definitely have someone in charge of your social media who actually knows how the business is run, and most importantly, can make decisions on behalf of the business. Social media needs to move fast. So if you get a question or a complaint or something that requires resolution, the person in charge of your social media should be able to help that resolution take place without, you know, having to go through rounds and rounds and rounds of trying to find an answer and constantly escalating, and eventually everything's gone wrong. So,
yeah, again, absolutely.
The person manning the Twitter account doesn't need to be that person, but the person in charge of them that they report to should be able to make something happen.
Yeah, in sort of a related point, in Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek, which... read or don't read, I don't care. but there was a point in that book where he said that one of the biggest steps in the evolution of his company, and this may have been a story that he told or a story that he borrowed from somebody, but they empowered their customer service reps and said, if you can spend, you have $100 per person, you know, per call that you get in customer service, and do whatever you need to do within that $100 to satisfy the client, whether that's buying, you know, sending them a new product, or if they need help setting up, maybe paying for a couple hours to bring a tech support person in, whatever it might be. I think giving that power to whoever's managing your Twitter or Facebook, so they can go in and say, how can we fix this problem? You know, rather than going through miles of paperwork and approvals and that kind of stuff. I think that's really powerful.
Exactly. And I mean, for us, again, being the agency who is often doing this work on behalf of clients, of course, we're not always the ones who have that authority, but the people that we deal with day to day and stay in contact with need to be that type of person. So, you know, if you're hiring an agency to do your social media, the people working with that agency and helping manage them, they need to have some authority to actually be able to help and to get something done. You can, again... You know, so if you don't have your most junior person actually manning your or running your social media, your most junior person or another junior person shouldn't be managing the agency. You need to have someone who's, you know, has some authority and can make something happen.
Yeah, but absolutely. And they need to be able to move quickly, too. I think that's incredibly important because, you know, if they should be prepared to be, you know, listening all the time, because if your agency, you know, has a problem in the morning, You don't necessarily want to have to wait until tomorrow for somebody to make that decision on the other end.
Exactly. And I think a lot of that as well, you know, we usually don't want our clients to have to be in a position where they're always, you know, answering questions or just doing customer service. So what we do is make sure we've got so much content set up that it often we're not leaving our customers to ask questions of us. We should be providing information all the time. So,
yeah, that gets... What related to that, too, I think, is going through at the beginning, you know, as you're planning your campaign, as you're starting to get, you know, accustomed to the idea of doing social media, figure out, you know, just go through and brainstorm what are things that people might have a problem with. Obviously, you don't want any problems, but what if, you know, maybe in the case of a tourism booking, like, I don't know, something ridiculous, like maybe they missed the ship or something like that. Have scripts available and, you know, have action plans for each of those situations. So you, because I think a lot of the time you're going to find that those problems are going to be, you know, you can easily push them into one category. And maybe that's a good way to help, you know, sort of bypass the approvals process too, by doing all of that work to approve these things way in advance.
Exactly. I mean, 20% of your customer service problems are going to take up 80% of your time. That's just usually how that works. So you know what your top issues are, whether it's complaints or questions. So yeah, you, whoever is running your account should be empowered well before someone asks to know what the answer is and to be, have pre-approved language that they can just post or modify, you know, slightly depending on the situation. So, I mean, really that's for us, again, working on strategies for clients. And what you should do as well is come up ahead of time with what the major types of content are. So one content bucket is going to be customer service issues and regular, you know, things you might run into. The rest of it, you know, figure out what the core areas of your business are and write, you know, a bunch of content for each different type. So, you know, if you're, let's say you're a retail, you know, organization. So one content bucket is, you know, new stock. One content bucket is going to be, you know, regular offers and, you know, packages or coupons or things like that. The stuff that says, you know, get in here right now because it's important. One content bucket will be the area you're in. So if you're in a cool part of town, you should be posting from your social media about, you know, what's going on in that area of town today. Get people engaged. And, you know, another one can be profiling staff and customers and testimonials. So get all that different type of content out and pre-written and get it approved so that you've always got tons of stuff to talk about. And that way you can have someone more junior actually manning the account because they already know what they're going to say.
Yeah, I think social media, it's incredibly important to be current and you know, not necessarily dipping into things that you've written in the past or prepared in the past. But there is a good deal that not only can you get away with that, you know, in customer service responses and things like that, but it's kind of the best way to go because you can tweak it as time goes on and as you get, you know, real feedback from people and have scripts that, you know, work.
Exactly. I think all of this kind of comes back to just thinking ahead as much as you can. Yeah, I mean, social media needs to be current in that you should have someone actually typing out the words fairly often, but you can prepare so much of it ahead of time, just like any marketing. Yeah, I mean, if you're doing face-to-face sales calls, you can say, well, you need to be current. You need to be talking to this person on their level and having a conversation. Absolutely. But you already know everything that you were going to hope to say before you ran into that person. So you need to be flexible and you need to be current, but you can definitely do a lot of preparation ahead of time so you're not struggling every day to come up with, you know, new language.
Have a good framework.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, I guess this week is going to be a little bit short, but we will be back with a vengeance next week with a regular length episode. Let us know what you think in the comments. And I don't know, you have anything else, Joel?
No, I think that's it. You know, send us questions. What is it? Questions at notarealjob.com. And thanks once again for listening.
We're on Twitter, NARJcast. And yeah, that's about it. Talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.